Carriger, President of Capstone Marketing. I am delighted to be talking today with Laura Cusera, Principal and Chief Marketing Officer at Citrin Cooperman, and the 2017 Marketer of the Year, an award sponsored by Inside Public Accounting. Laura joined Citrin Cooperman in January 2015 and manages a team of 15 marketing and business development professionals. She is involved with most strategic initiatives in the firm, from mergers to service line restructuring to staff mentoring and infrastructure upgrades. Her achievements include leading integration efforts for two new firms, developing marketing and business development strategies for those new domestic markets, and launching a global go-to-market plan, creating a new technology and risk advisory consulting practice, developing and teaching a four-hour cross-selling class, and creating a new brand identity, focus on what counts. And did I mention Citrin Cooperman achieved 17% growth last year? Laura, congratulations on being named the 2017 Marketer of the Year.
Thank you, Jean, and thank you for that lengthy introduction. I have to say, and it explains why I'm a little busy.
Chris Camaro at Inside Public Accounting was kind enough to share some of her presentation with me, so that's where I got my info. So thanks to Chris. So, Laura, I've mentioned you've been with Citrin Cooperman since January 2015, but you have, it's over 15 years at least, experience in accounting marketing at big firms, too, like Grant Thornton and Friedman. So you've got a history here in this industry. Tell us what you feel is the greatest challenge in marketing CPA firms.
Sure, and yes, I have been a longtime marketer for professional services in the accounting industry, everywhere from PricewaterhouseCoopers, KPMG to Grant to Friedman to et cetera, right? And I think the most common thread that I have seen is really trying to develop the firm's unique differentiators, right? I think that is a challenge that marketers in this industry face every day because it's professional services, it's people. We are at our core selling relationships, and it's really trying to, find that magic sweet spot of what makes Citrin Cooperman's methodology unique from PwC's, unique from Friedman, sort of regardless of size, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all trying to figure out what those characteristics are.
And this could be a whole conversation, but could you give us kind of the high level of the approach you take to help figure out those differentiators?
Sure, and I don't think that it's that I'm going to be saying anything that is sort of earth-shatteringly different from from what organizations do. But we really, as marketers, our partners, and all of our practice professionals are our clients, and so we really want to kind of listen to them and understand what makes the culture of our firm, and really how we what makes the culture of our firm and how we sell to our clients and how we serve our clients and get the perspective from our practice professionals on that. And I think that's when we really try to find the sort of unique characteristics that make Citrin Cooperman Citrin Cooperman, right?
Mm-hmm.
For us, we have a methodology that has sort of been built from the very beginning, right? It's part of who this firm is. It's part of our DNA, our integrated business advisory approach, right? And it's something that the firm was founded on, and we sort of dug that out during really getting to know our partners, our different practices, how everybody has arrived here, the core values that the firm was founded on. So it's listening and really being able to interpret our people in the right way.
Mm-hmm. And then I bet it's taking that information and making sure that you're recruiting and training and brand is something that's genuine and that your people, I always say, can live and breathe, that it's truly who you are.
Absolutely. I think, you know, you mentioned a little bit in the beginning in my long list of stuff that, you know, in coming in, we, you know, we solidified our messaging, right, to be focused on what counts. And what we've been doing internally these past, you know, this past 2.5 year period is really trying to live that tagline and that mission statement that's behind it through every aspect of our firm, externally to our clients, our prospects, our referral sources, our friends in the industry, but internally as well, in terms of how we're defining and building out and building on the existing culture. Really also ingraining it now in the training that we've been rolling out as we've taken a look and kind of restructured part of our advisory service line with all of the firms that have joined us. We've really been very, very fortunate to have them all kind of bring on different services, different consulting areas of expertise, and has really opened the door for us to even widen that breadth and that approach. And so it's kind of led to this sort of whole, okay, so now we can kind of refocus our training a little bit on kind of how we're talking to our clients and how we learn these services and how we sort of approach the sort of more holistic view of who we are, and it just kind of sort of has spiraled from there. We're building it into our new website that's coming out soon. We're kind of building this whole DNA of who we are into everything that that we're doing. So it's been a lot of fun, and it's been really exciting because we're getting a lot of favorable feedback. We're generating a lot of enthusiasm. I think, you know, it's clicking internally very nicely with everybody from partners to down to staff levels, really kind of embracing the sort of who we are.
Right.
And so it makes it fun.
Right. So I'm hearing that while defining those unique differentiators is a challenge, it's possible. And as long as, you know, when you're, you know, proactive and consistent about it, it can make a difference within your firm and how you go to market.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I think the secret to, not really secret, right, but the secret to the differentiators, to sort of nailing that is finding what hits home for your people, because when you believe what you're saying and you buy into what you're saying, then, you know, then you gain momentum and then it becomes real, and keeping it consistent is easy because it's something that everybody knows and feels.
That's a great point. That's a great point. So consider, you know, the past 5 years. What are the biggest changes you've noticed in accounting marketing?
Well, you know, I think we've certainly seen fluctuate. Well, you know, moving from Big Four firms to regional firms and in between, right, I've noticed, you know, different shifts at different times in the types of markets that we serve, and sort of the way that we name them, the groups that we put them in. So I've always, you know, it's always interesting to see the changes in industry classifications and the like from a marketer's perspective, because it, you know, we sort of shift the way that we build our plans based on how the different firms go to market. But I would say one of the things that has sort of been kind of creeping along is really how for marketers especially, I think is twofold. Number one, I think, is obviously the influence and the growth of digital media and social media and all of that. And really, okay, you know, we're professional services firms, I think, you know, really struggle with how do we use this? You know, how do we leverage social media so that it is impactful and drives business? And, you know, it's different, right, than posting a new Pepsi ad. You know, or like, because it's not, you know, we're not a thing. You don't go to the, you don't run to the store and, you know, and pick up the auditor.
That would be an interesting concept, though, wouldn't it?
Maybe there's a new campaign there. But, you know, but it's really changed the way that we define thought leadership. You know, thought leadership was, you know, white papers, these big 50 page books and reports and, you know, more technical and just very, very, you know, just very deep, right? And now it's everything is okay. It's infographics, it's bite size, it's podcasts, it's, you know, what can I do? How interactive can I make it? You know, how brief can we be and still drive a point home? So I think that that's probably one of the biggest sort of changes that that we've seen that has really shifted the way that we go to market. Second to that also, I think, is, you know, the trend in the accounting industry overall to move the way that we are viewed more and more, especially with artificial intelligence sort of like looming over there, right, is kind of, you know, being more advisory, being more consultative, you know, really being that horrible word of trusted advisor, right? But being that person or those people or that firm now has also shifted the way that we message and the way that we talk to our clients in everything that we do, because it's not enough certainly anymore to maybe ever was, right? But you have to kind of be more than the auditor, be more than the tax provider. Like, you really have to be that business person's accountant, and that's taken on a new meaning. I think those are sort of two critical shifts that we've seen.
Yeah, I would agree with you on both parts, particularly that second point you made about, you know, being the advisor and being able to be the advisor. And I know there are probably lots of firms and lots of CPAs who are doing an excellent job with that, and I could also tell you that there are many more who are not, who think they are and think they have it covered, and they truly don't. I think they're going to be in for a big surprise here, especially with all of you saying, you know, all this artificial intelligence and blockchain and everything we're hearing about, you know, robots doing audits and, you know, how the industry is going to change.
Yeah. Remember the Jetsons cartoon?
Oh, we are totally the Jetsons.
So yeah, I'm waiting for the one that you know cooks dinner and does all the cleans the house and all that stuff and
walking the dog on the conveyor.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, the Rosa Maid. God, what was her name? I can't remember her name. Whoever wrote that cartoon, I mean, that it was an absolute genius, because it is coming true right before our eyes.
Absolutely.
So think ahead to the next 5 years. What's your prediction? Any changes that you can think about?
God. You know, if I'm looking at, you know, I think it's, you know, I think that we'll see from an industry perspective overall, I think, you know, that the cycle is turning, you know, again, I think there'll be, you know, more consolidation, right, more joinings, more just, you know, more coming together across the industry as a whole, I think, especially with that sort of invigorated shift now to being more the advisor, more the consultants, more like, you know, our client's person, right? And all that we do, I think that there's going to be a need to really leverage and understand how to be sort of all things to our clients. So for marketers, I think we're continuing. I see just a continuation of some of the these sort of trends I talked about before, which is really, you know, how to, I guess it's kind of, you know, it goes back to we're selling professional services. So when you're selling professional services, you're selling the people, you're selling the relationship, you know, you're building that relationship. And I think where we're moving towards with technology, both from a digital media and social media front, as well as the new challenges that are going to, you know, coming in the industry with all of the different automations coming down the road, I think that relationship building is going to be more critical than ever, because I feel like, you know, and I probably sound like what I thought my grandparents sounded like when I was a child, but, you know, technology has its pros and cons. It's like all this newfangled stuff now, and nobody knows how to talk to each other.
Right.
So I think that, you know, I think that that's going to be kind of a key theme over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, is really focusing in on how do we still maintain that human connection.
Right, right. Even through, you know, when you think of even, well, I can talk to speak to myself, you know, of all the technology that has been created in the time that I've been in this industry, because, gosh, I almost hate to say it, you know, at my first firm, you know, we didn't have computers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember the first computer we got, and it was the most competent admin who got the computer.
Mm-hmm.
So she could pump out the financial statements and the work, you know, from this computer. And here, and just how things have changed in those decades,
yeah,
is incredible.
It's amazing. It's really amazing.
Right, right. The power that we hold in our telephones is just absolutely amazing.
The fact that it's, you know, even if, you know, somebody, I even so much as thought about, you know, a pair of shoes at Bloomingdale's, all of a sudden the ads are everywhere. So
right.
It's amazing.
Right. Those cookies are following you everywhere,
yes,
you go. Tell me what you think are the factors or skills that enable accounting marketers to be successful. Because, let's, you know, we're in a tough profession. So what are those factors?
I'm doing this for so long, I think that I think that you need to really be somebody that you need to have kind of go in with an open mind, and really kind of just understand and soak up what makes your firm run and tick, because you have to be adaptable and adjustable and, you know, part counselor sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are, you know, it's a partnership, and I will say that a partnership is a complex place to work as a, because you're every partner is your client, and so it's really being able to work with and understand all of the different sort of, you know, wants, needs, and perspectives they share, right? Because no two opinions are alike.
Mm-hmm.
Priorities, you know, to one practice can be totally different than the other, can shift, you know, completely differently to another. What works in one geography, even if you're talking about, you know, a regional firm who has, you know, like us, you know, we have ten offices up the, you know, up and down the East Coast, and I can tell you, you know, as clear as day, that what works in Providence does not work in New Jersey, does not work in Long Island, and surely doesn't work in New York City. So it's really being able to really kind of, you know, see the big picture and then be able to take that and distill it and customize it for, you know, 12 different audiences, right? Each office,
right,
each industry, you know, you have to be able to multitask. You have to be able to adapt. You have to have, a thick skin,
mm-hmm,
too. And not to say that, you know, I did that, you know, the accounting firms are a terrible place to work. They're not. I love them. I wouldn't be here for what is now, actually, you were kind before. It's over 20 years.
you're welcome.
And but it's, you know, it's fast paced and everybody's different and everything's a challenge. And, you know, like we said before, right, it's not, I'm not saying here, go buy this can of Pepsi. So, you have to sort of be all things, kind of all things at the same time and really understand how to manage your time and how to prioritize.
Right.
And I think probably more and more when I think about it, right, you are, you know, being the marketer, you're not necessarily, you know, your role is very different from 90% of the firm. So it's also really being able to, you know, for a piece of it, right, being able to pick up yourself and get in there and do it and show and demonstrate to your practice groups and your partners and all of that what marketing is and what it can do to help their business. And, you know, overall, I've been really lucky that all the firms I've worked at and Citrin Cooperman, I think especially for me now they want they're enthusiastic about marketing. They really want marketing. They want people and they want the guidance. They don't just want somebody to execute on, you know, and put together this event for me or write this proposal for me. They're really looking for that person who can advise them on how to use marketing and business development to grow their practice groups. And I think that that's wonderful, and I think it's something that maybe we as marketers don't take advantage of enough.
Well, I think that is a wonderful situation for you and your team because there are a lot of marketers out there who are order takers. Unfortunately, and the partners aren't looking to them for their additional input or experience or expertise. So it's a fine line sometimes within firms of just how big of a role the marketers can take.
Yeah, I no doubt, right? But I think so one of the things, so I will always say this, like, I love a mess. There's nothing I love more than kind of, you know, than a mess or somebody to tell me, you know, I love when a partner tells me, and not in my current CMO role, but like even in my, you know, in my manager days, right? And somebody tell me, well, I don't need marketing. I know everybody. I do all of this. Like, I don't understand what you're going to do. And, you know, I love those people because, you know, the best part is when I say, okay, well, you don't have to do anything. Just let me do this. You know, let me do whatever and whatever this is, right? Let me show you, you know, let me do this campaign or this event or this one thing, right? And, you know, if it's successful, then you have to listen to me. You know, and if it's not, then okay, fine, you know, I'll move on to, you know, my other partners, my other groups, whatever. And it's, you know, I think that, you know, obviously, right, you're not going to change everybody. And you don't have to. You really don't have to. But I think that where our part sometimes fails, and I know that it's a struggle and can sometimes even be, you know, intimidating depending on where you are in your career, is the ease at which sometimes I think we agree to take that back seat. And just do, you know, just do, well, you know, he said, you know, he or she said, you know, well, all I need is a tax compliance proposal. Or I just, you know, well, we do this event because we always do this event. Because it's easier sometimes. And, you know, a partner is a partner, right? And there's always that distinction, too. It's like, well, they're a partner, so I have to. Well, but you were hired for your area of expertise, right? So, you know, again, and there's, you know, obviously, there's, like we said, right, we can't necessarily change everybody's mind. But I think, you know, with a little bit of sort of pushing in the right way, you know, you will make an impact. It will, you'll see a shift. It won't necessarily be with everyone. It won't always be perfect. But I really do believe that if you just push a little bit, things move.
Right. You know, you are leading right into another question I have for you, and I think you may answer it the same way, because I just love that comment you just made about agreeing to take a back seat. How can marketers gain more power within their firms? And I think what you were just talking about is part of that.
Yeah, I think so. And now, and don't get me wrong, right? There's a right way and a wrong way to not take the back seat, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, how do you gain more? And I don't know if it's, you know, power, influence, whatever, right? But it's not, you know, it's, you need buy-in. You need your clients. You need, you know, if you're wherever you are, if you're a manager of a particular practice group, you know, you need the buy-in of that practice leader and that core partner professional team. If you're in my role, if you are principal and CMO, I can't do any of this if my CEO doesn't trust me and doesn't, you know, and hasn't bought in to the need for marketing and open to what it is that myself and my team wants to do to help impact the direction that we're taking. And same for our office managing partners, our executive committee, right? I need that core client buy-in. And I'm not going to get that if all I simply do is come in and answer emails and say yes to every request just because I think I should.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm. You know, you don't get the buy-in and the sort of autonomy to have that impact at the firm level, practice level, you know, et cetera, if you don't have a voice. And I really believe that. And you know, for better or worse, my voice isn't always listened. You know, my voice it's not always agreed. I don't always get my way. In fact, most of the time it's, yes, that was the, you know, I hear you, but, which is fine, because
right.
I think what is, you know, it's, what's appreciated more than anything else is having that opinion and being able to express it and being able to have a conversation with your partners and your CEO, your executive committees, your OMPs about, you know, how, what your view is, what those perspectives are, because without that dialogue, everything moves along the same way it always has, and nothing changes, and firms fail.
Right. Right. Yeah, and then, you know, there's the issue of expectations and what the partners were expecting of the marketing professionals and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I mean, you're making a wonderful point. You know, if you're just going in there and saying yes and agreeing to everything, then what happens? You know, let's face it, you're the marketer of the year. You're a busy woman. You need to prioritize as well because you're busy as it is. Imagine if you said yes to everything.
Well, and you can't. And it's important to, you know, I can't, you know, the same as in terms of what you said before about expectations of what the marketing team, you know, has to offer and who we are, too. The same thing goes on the other side, right? If I don't know the expectations and the vision of my partners and my CEO and the firm, well, then, you know, how can I possibly help them? If all I'm doing is saying, you know, saying yes and sort of being that order taker person, nobody's learning on either side. Nobody's benefiting. Nobody's going to move anything forward. I have to be, again, these are my clients. I have to be transparent. I have to be clear, and again, you can't, you know, you have to be able to have conversations. You have to be able to really treat, you know, they are your biggest priority. They're your biggest clients, and you won't be successful if you don't talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous point. It sounds so simple, but it's a fabulous point.
It's not simple. I get it.
Oh, yeah, right.
it's not easy, but it's necessary.
Absolutely. So tell me then, what is your best piece of advice for accounting marketers?
Therapy. No. I think I think the biggest thing is to understand and embrace that your partners, every partner, is your client, and that means something. You know, that as much time as we spend helping our partners define what their clients mean to them and what their approach is, I think that, you know, it's imperative for us to do that for ourselves. And really sit down and say, okay, what's my mission? What's my methodology for serving my clients? You know, am I being successful? Am I checking in with them and seeing how that's going? I think that relationship, just like the relationships that we're trying to pitch to our firm's clients and our prospects, you know, that's the same thing here. If you know, relationship building is key, because without it, you could be the smartest marketer in the world. I could be marketer of the year every single year. If I, you know, suck at building relationships,
right.
It's an SAT word, by the
way.
You're doomed. Then you're doomed. Then it doesn't matter how smart I am.
Exactly. So then on the flip side, final question, what is your best piece of advice for managing partners?
I think, you know, if I look at Joel Cooperman and I really look at what I think that he does a phenomenal job with, and I think that it's something that, you know, I'm sure a lot of managing partners do, but I think that from my seat, from my view here at Sitcher & Cooperman, and why I think the firm is what it is in part too, he really listens, as well as, you know, our executive committee, our OMPs, they listen to their people. They listen to the market. He's open to ideas. And open to change, right? He certainly, you know, he absolutely, you know, sees where the industry goes, where, you know, the changes in the different groups of professionals as they come in and kind of what we need to be successful. And, you know, it's taking, you know, it's listening to all of that and then really an understanding what makes sense and what doesn't make sense to move into your organization and how to customize things so that it's ours at the end of the day, because everybody wants to go home feeling, you know, and talk to your friends and your family and be proud of where you work. And I think that, you know, if you have a managing partner that really understands how to take sort of the voice of the people and figure out, you know, how to make that voice, you know, work for who we are and implement that, then I think, you know, everything else really just falls behind, because again, you know, he's building relationships of loyal and happy personnel. And, you know, when you have that, hopefully you have happy clients. Hopefully you have people that are going to be with you and grow with you for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then you have firms that want to, you know, everything, it kind of snowballs. So I think it starts with that.
Right. That's a great piece of advice. So we've been talking today with Laura Casera, Principal and Chief Marketing Officer at Sitcher & Cooperman and the 2017 Marketer of the Year. Laura, it's been a delight. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Jean. This was a lot of fun.